your immune health and be your first lines of defense for both you and the kids. Maybe your child needs help focusing and concentrating. Ask about natural alternatives from Terry Naturally. Prepare now for a successful, healthy school year at Family Natural Foods, West Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go. I didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family. They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges and have a brighter future.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding. I'm a speaker, I'm an author. Covenant House really helped me and really helped mold me into the woman I am today.
If you or someone you love is asking for help, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in 1,000 pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
A tree can be a warrior, battling global challenges with greater courage. A tree can be a solution, cleaning our air, supporting our communities, and protecting our wildlife. A tree can be noble, growing hope in every corner of the world. That's why now is the time for trees. Millions of trees. Join our planting movement at arborday.org.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
Hi, I'm Kirsten from Pentatonix. We've all learned how to cope with more time alone. With more time spent isolated or at home, the need for companionship has grown. If you've considered adding a pet to your family, please check with your local shelters and foster organizations. Stray pet numbers have grown immensely over the past several years, and the trauma caused to these animals is devastating. Adopt pets, they need us more than we know. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. Flash flood emergencies have been declared in parts of Kentucky and Tennessee, with entire neighborhoods underwater in Union City, Tennessee. CBS's Omar Villafranca is there.
Nearly a foot of rain falling over 24 hours in northwest Tennessee. The flash floods forcing emergency evacuations. This trailer park community under waist-deep water. Some two dozen people rescued onto dry land.
We looked outside and literally everything in our yard had floated away.
Federal prosecutors have flagged a social media post from former President Trump. Here's CBS's Scott McFarlane.
On his Truth Social platform Friday, Donald Trump posted, "If you go after me, I'm coming for you." Took just a few hours for that social media post to make it into a court filing from special counsel Jack Smith.
A judge in Texas has blocked parts of the state's near-total abortion ban that dealt with exemptions due to pregnancy complications. Reporter Chris Fox is in Austin.
Judge Jessica Mangrum wrote that doctors cannot be prosecuted for using their own good faith judgment in performing emergency abortions. A lawsuit was filed by 13 Texas women who were refused abortions. Their attorney, Molly Duane.
Despite multiple repeated requests, Texas has done nothing to clarify the scope of its abortion ban.
The state has already filed an appeal. The FDA has approved the first ever pill to treat postpartum depression. CBS's Alexander Tin has that story.
An estimated 15% of women experience major depression linked to childbirth or the later stages of pregnancy. Until now, the only FDA-approved option was an IV injection. The drug has one more hurdle to clear before it enters the market, a 90-day scheduling period by the DEA.
Nurses at Robert Wood Johnson University Hospital in New Brunswick, New Jersey, walked out yesterday.
14-hour shifts that turned into 16-hour days, barely any rest break. I'm lucky if I could go to the bathroom.
To us, it's not about money. We just want more nurses at the bedside.
Millions of older workers are nearing retirement with nothing in their bank accounts to carry them through.
Recent analysis by the Government Accountability Office found that in 2019, just 1 in 10 low-income workers between the ages of 51 and 64 had any money put away for retirement. That compares to 1 in 5 in 2007 prior to the Great Recession. That means many senior Americans will live out their lives in poverty.
CBS's Christopher Cruz. In Manhattan's Union Square Park, chaos erupted after a large crowd gathered for live streamer Kai Cenat's meet and greet giveaway. The crowd got out of control and police made several arrests. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
When you have trouble sleeping, it's tough. When kids have trouble sleeping...
Mom, I can't sleep. Dad, just one more story?
For nights like this, try Vicks Pure Z's Kids. Our great-tasting gummies are specially formulated for kids with a unique blend of botanicals and a low dose of melatonin to support their natural sleep cycle. Best of all, they're drug-free and non-habit-forming. Help your child fall asleep naturally with Pure Z's Kids Gummies. Consult with a doctor before use for ages 4 and up.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This time next week, I'll be sick in bed with West Nile virus, thanks to a mosquito bite right in front of my house.
In 8 minutes, my daughter will be in an ambulance, having an asthma attack, triggered by cockroaches.
I'm going to be bitten by a tick today. I won't even know it until Lyme disease turns my life upside down.
Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association and the CDC.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
If you're grilling this weekend, be sure to have plenty of artisan hearth buns and rolls on hand.
Fancy equipment and secret sauces are great, but once you've mastered the basics, it's all about the bun. Your perfectly grilled burgers and hot dogs deserve the best, and with several varieties to choose from, including Wisconsin brat buns, gourmet brioche, French, and onion rolls, the bakers of Artisan Hearth have the buns and rolls your family will love. Artisan Hearth, locally baked, delivered fresh daily.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy this afternoon with highs around 84. East winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. 59 tonight, partly cloudy skies. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 83, cloudy. Upper 70s Monday with a chance for scattered thunderstorms, turning warmer Tuesday with highs in the low 80s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 67.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
To spend some time, principally the entire first hour, maybe even more, depending upon your questions, your thoughts, your comments, your observations, talking about specifically what that superseding indictment is, what that means, where it comes from, and then talking about its specific content. It is, as before, what we call a talking indictment, which means that, yes, at the end of the indictment, there are portions of it that do, in fact, describe and what we'll describe as legalese, those specific things that are the execution elements, if you will. But it's a talking indictment. And so you can read through the first portions of it and get an understanding of exactly what it is that the grand jury has found based upon the evidence presented to it. A superseding indictment returned this past week, changing, not significantly in terms of the focus of the indictment, but adding more information about the way in which our former president allegedly, and yes, we hasten to add, as we always do, that anyone charged with an offense conduct in here in the United States of America, federally, in the state system, is presumed innocent until proven guilty. That always attends you until that time, if ever, as a jury comes back and finds beyond a reasonable doubt that you as a defendant, the defendant himself, herself, itself, is guilty, again, beyond a reasonable doubt, or there's a plea. And a judge enters that finding based upon the evidence presented during the course of the case. A presumption of innocence, that's in our Constitution. It attends everyone, until that formal adjudication of guilt is entered by a court, followed typically by a jury, but not always. And that attends the president as well, and attends other people, now included in this superseding indictment. We're going to spend some time again, principally this first hour, second hour, talking specifically, more than just the headlines, about what that particular indictment says. We're going to go through the talking portions, the narrative descriptions of what happened, and what is new in this superseding indictment that was not a part of the indictment that we talked about in early June, again, pending in South Florida. This entire matter, as we know, scheduled by the presiding judge. Her name is Eileen Cannon. She is the district court judge in South Florida. She has scheduled a trial on this entire package of things, all of these charges, for May 24th of next year, 2024. She's scheduled that after a hearing among the parties, but before the return of this recent indictment that, yes, adds more charges and adds at least one new defendant to the case, changes somewhat the geography of the case, and may in fact prompt this new defendant through counsel to ask for yet another postponement in the trial date. An awful lot of things related to the pendency of the trial itself, the charges pending right now. We're still anticipating motions to dismiss, motions to suppress, motions challenging the very legitimacy of the indictment itself, certainly the superseding indictment as well. All of that still coming in the federal district court before Judge Eileen Cannon. Lots and lots of things to do, not only in the wake of that first indictment in June, but also now this superseding indictment that happened just 48 hours ago. Also, again, coming out of South Florida, a grand jury sitting in that setting. And let me begin with that principal point, which we have talked about before. A little bit of civics once again this morning. What is a grand jury? A grand jury, again, a private proceeding. We do not know the names of those people. Typically in the federal system, 26 people gathered together, selected by a court, a magistrate judge, sometimes a district court judge. They are from all sectors of our community. They're bankers, they're teachers, they're masons, they're healthcare providers. They can be all sorts of folks. They can be broadcasters, educators, all kinds of people out there who are called in to determine what, whether there's a basis, whether there's probable cause to find that the people, the entities that they are investigating, and yes, it's their investigation, it is a grand jury investigation, whether there is probable cause to determine to find in the end that indictment charges, federal charges, and then sometimes state charges. We'll talk a little bit about that as well. State grand juries pending right now, at least we know in Georgia as well, related to January 6th. Another unrelated grand jury pending, standing right now in Washington, D.C., again related to J6. That will probably be the subject of more discussion and more indictments in the future. This particular grand jury, again, in South Florida, convened how? By a court. Very important point. Grand juries, contrary to some of the commentary out there, even some of the well-meaning media commentary, are not branches of the U.S. Department of Justice. They're not a part of the executive branch. They're a part of the judicial branch. It's a grand jury, a petit jury in a trial setting. That's a part of the court system, not owned, not under the auspices of the executive branch. A grand jury, including the grand jury that returned this superseding indictment, is a part of the judicial branch, convened again by a judge, by a magistrate judge, to bring them together, 26 people, to work in private to determine whether or not there is sufficient evidence to return charges. And yes, they do it based upon subpoenas that they can issue, subpoenas for the testimony of people coming before them to provide them with oral testimony about what happened, what didn't happen. Also, lots of documents that they can secure, again, through grand jury subpoenas. We'll talk about that in just a few moments as well. And in the end, the Department of Justice, through assistant U.S. attorneys, and yes, Jack Smith, who is the special counsel here, his staff as well, assisting them undeniably, working through the administrative portions of enforcing those subpoenas, getting those witnesses to appear. But it's the grand jury itself that does the review of all this information and determines in the end whether there is a sufficient probable cause to return an indictment. And yet, once again, as I've said in the past, my strong view, having spent 30 years practicing in front of grand juries, is they are not a rubber stamp. You happen to be listening to someone who is a prosecutor on at least two different occasions during my time as an assistant U.S. attorney. A federal prosecutor had grand juries come back to me and say, Mr. Santel, we do not concur. We have looked at the evidence presented in front of us, and we do not agree with your assessment that there is a basis, a probable cause that these particular defendants have engaged in federal offenses. And you know what? Although I disagreed with them, obviously would not have presented that to them, absent the view of my boss at that time, the U.S. attorneys for whom I worked, that there was a sufficient basis to indict. The reality is, and the important point is, it's the grand jury's decision. It's not the decision of the prosecutor. It's not the decision in the end of the U.S. Department of Justice. It is the decision of those grand jurors. They make the finding, and that's what happened again this past week in adding additional charges, in adding additional defendant to this particular case. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk with specificity about what that grand jury, that superseding grand jury indictment says, what it doesn't say. Stay with us for that discussion, that presentation about this talking indictment that once again animates the rule of law in America and dictates in many ways the kinds of cases that are going to be pending in the federal district court in 2024 and beyond.
Did you know 1 in 4 car batteries is weak and needs to be replaced? O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery for free. If your battery needs to be replaced, our professional parts people can help you find the right SuperStart battery for your vehicle and budget. Don't wait. Get your battery tested for free today at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
save 11%. A Menards unbeatable selection of Atlas roofing products. Castlebrook, Briarwood, and Pinnacle shingles feature a limited lifetime warranty, up to 130 mile per hour wind warranty, and a super wide design for fast installation. Protect your home for years to come and save 11% on all Atlas shingles right now at Menards. Good through August 6th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Ray Magliozzi here for eBay Motors. Okay, easy now. You're teaching a kid how to parallel park. Ouch! Turns out he likes to do it by feel. Don't worry, eBay Motors has bumpers, taillights, trunk lids, license plate holders, 122 million parts. Pull up just a little bit. And headlights. They've got lots of headlights. Get the right parts at the right prices. eBay Motors. Let's ride.
Hey, this is Penny Pincher Bob, and I love a good rummage sale. If you love them too, you can list your Saturday rummage sale right here on this radio station. Your 15-second Saturday rummage sale ad runs Friday all day and Saturday morning for only $50 per week. If you would like to list your Saturday rummage sale, call us now, 715-629-9501. The deadline for each week is Wednesday at noon. Operators are standing by now. Please have a valid credit card ready to go. See ya!
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Informed, entertained, and connected on the Civic Media Network. CivicMedia.us.
We are back here at Morning Cannolis. It is Saturday, July 29th, a special broadcast here again through the auspices of Civic Media, but also taking your phone calls, your texts as well, through the Civic Media online app. That phone number is 844-967-2789. Delighted to hear from you this morning, as always, spending most of this hour, perhaps even into the second hour, depending upon your observations, your questions, your comments on this major new development in a criminal prosecution brought by the U.S. Department of Justice. This is a federal prosecution. This is not a state prosecution, brought by the U.S. Department of Justice in the executive branch of the federal government. Federal prosecutors, Thursday, just 2 days ago, adding some new major accusations to a previously filed indictment that we talked about right here on this program, charging the former president, his name Donald Trump, with mishandling classified documents after he left office. We know about that. That was the predicate of the previous indictment. Presenting evidence that he told a property management at Mar-a-Lago, which is his resort and sometimes residence, his private club, his residence in Florida there, that he wanted security camera footage there to be deleted. That's the headline. And that is why this new accusation, this set of accusations, is so significant. It's all about, once again, obstruction of justice, an attempt to keep the investigators from finding out what really happened. And again, let's talk a little bit more about the predicates for this. We're going to spend some time chatting about what this all means. Let's start with the word superseding. Superseding, what does that mean? S-U-P-E-R-S-E-D-I-N-G, the second major civics point of the morning. It means what it means in commonplace language. You may or may not use that word in your own life and own business and your own relationships with your family and friends. Basically means taking the place of a thing that was previously in place, a substitute. It supplants the thing that was there before. It's a substitute for what happened before. And indeed, the superseding indictment that we have now in front of us, returned by the grand jury in South Florida just 2 days ago, incorporates all of the previous charges. It's a brand new indictment, but it's also duplicative of. It repeats all the previous charges and adds more. It adds more things in terms of an additional defendant. And also, through this speaking language of this superseding, this supplanting indictment, gives us even more indication of what it was that Donald Trump and at least two other people now were doing with respect to these documents. And yes, indeed, an attempt to obstruct justice in the very, very conduct, the response to the conduct of the investigation being conducted by the U.S. Department of Justice. A superseding indictment, it is now the document upon which this trial will proceed. And again, incorporating all the previous charges and allegations that we talked about in June and some new things as well. Let's get right to that. Again, focusing on those Mar-a-Lago documents. the new accusations revealed in this indictment, naming additional defendant. Okay, his name is Carlos de Oliveira. De Oliveira, all right? And so we've got actually a third person involved in these particular charges. We know the first one, his name is Donald Trump. We know the second one. We saw him in the previous indictment. His charges remain in the superseding indictment. His name is Walter or Walt Nauta, N-A-U-T-A, is the personal aide, the personal assistant to the former president. And now we have this third person. He's the property manager, sometimes called the maintenance supervisor at Mar-a-Lago. He is now also named as a third defendant. He is now in criminal jeopardy by virtue of the charges in the superseding indictment. Carlos de Oliveira, we're going to talk a lot about him this morning. And then there is a fourth person that's also a part of this indictment, identified in the indictment just as employee number four. But we know who that is. We know who that is by virtue of other discovery, other information provided by the media. And his name is Yusciel, Y-U-S-C-I-L, Taveras, T-A-V-E-R-E-S. Yusciel Taveras, identified again as employee number four. And what is his role? He's the IT specialist. He's the one who does all the information technology there at Mar-a-Lago. You'll see in just a few moments why it is Yusciel Taveras is also so critical now to these new charges in this superseding indictment. He is the fourth player, the fourth person you're going to hear a lot about this morning. There are others who are also a part of this. They're identified as employees of the Trump Organization, as employees number three and number five. We'll talk about them as well. The revised indictment, as I said, adds three serious charges against the former president: attempting to alter, destroy, mutilate, or conceal evidence. That's one of the new charges. Inducing someone else to do so. And that's where, again, Carlos de Oliveira and even Yusciel Taveras come into play. And a new count under the Espionage Act related to a classified national security document that he showed to visitors at his golf club in Bedminster, New Jersey. Remember this? Also a part of the previous indictment. We've got more information now in the superseding indictment about the nature of that document in New Jersey, a top secret document. There was a war plan that he showed to other people in that setting. We'll get to that. Also now a part of this superseding indictment returned just a couple of days or so ago. All of this, again, landing from the grand jury this week before the people of America and pending in the Federal District Court in South Florida. Let's begin with that discussion. We're going to jump right into page 27 of this superseding indictment, a whole new set of charges, a whole new portion of this. Let's go through this. It is understandable. It tells this compelling story about the obstruction of justice engaged in by our former president, by Walt Nauta, and again, this new defendant, Carlos de Oliveira, involving other people. Here we go. June 3rd of 2022, a little bit over a year ago, FBI agents says we're at the Mar-a-Lago Club. Why were they there? They were to collect documents with classification markings that the Trump attorneys had identified. Remember, this is a part of the request from NARA, from the National Archives for Materials, and also then from the Department of Justice. The attorneys for Donald Trump said, sure, we've got those documents. Come down here and get those documents. June 3rd, 2022. Here's the lead into the next portion. While they were there, they observed surveillance cameras located in a storage room. The FBI identifies those surveillance cameras, and that's how we get into the next portion of this story, which we are going to pursue right after this break, involving, again, the attempt to delete security camera footage from the Mar-a-Lago location. Stay with us for that important discussion.
Summer.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Hey, this is Petty Pincher Bob, and I love a good rummage sale. If you love them too, you can list your Saturday rummage sale right here on this radio station. Your 15-second Saturday rummage sale ad runs Friday all day and Saturday morning for only $50 per week. If you would like to list your Saturday rummage sale, call us now, 715-629-9501. The deadline for each week is Wednesday at noon. Operators are standing by now. Please have a valid credit card ready to go. See ya!
What if your next breath is your last breath? Jesus said that no one is good except God alone. Paul wrote that no one is righteous, not even one. Isaiah says we all, like sheep, have gone astray. At First Baptist Church of Wisconsin Rapids, we believe there is hope of life after death in Christ alone. Historic faith, prayer, fellowship, virtue, the preaching of the word. Visit firstbaptistwr.com.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
People across Wisconsin are enjoying the rewards, stability, and flexibility of a career in healthcare. Why not you? Wish Caregiver Careers can get you started as a certified direct care professional. You'll learn the skills you need to make life better for older adults or people with a disability. All training is free and online, plus earn $500 in bonuses. Start your new career. Sign up today at WISCCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' Hot Cheetos Chicken on a Stick? Deep-fried Old Fashioned? Or Pino Pretzel Popper Brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Alice. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino Pretzel Popper Brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy this afternoon with highs around 84. East winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. 59 tonight, partly cloudy skies. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 83, cloudy. Upper 70s Monday with a chance for scattered thunderstorms, turning warmer Tuesday with highs in the low 80s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 67.
Ronald Reagan, Tommy Thompson, Scott Klug Republicans. This Republican Party you got now with Robin Voss and Devin Lemieux, the Republican Party at the top, want to start banning books, for God's sake.
Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We are back talking this morning principally, if not exclusively, about this major development in the Mar-a-Lago investigation, the Mar-a-Lago prosecution against our former president, and now two other people, an additional defendant named in this superseding indictment just 2 days ago. We're talking about what exactly the superseding indictment says. What do they do to qualify, to justify these charges, again, brought by a grand jury in South Florida right before the break, talking about the fact that the story here, although it preceded much of this, begins in June, when agents are down there, FBI agents, upon the invitation of the attorneys for the former president, invited down there to pick up the documents. Attorneys telling the FBI, yes, we've got documents. Come down here and take a look at them. And while the agents are there, according to the very first statement in this new section in the superseding indictment. They look around, they say, you know what? There's a surveillance camera near the storage room. And why is that important? Well, prosecutors and investigators have been long understanding and trying to get a feel for what exactly was going on with these boxes. As we know from the previous indictment, lots of the photographs, are they being moved around? Who's got access to them? What is going on with respect to those documents? And so a surveillance camera right outside the very storage room in which they're being kept, plainly recording, perhaps, relevant information. And sure enough, 3 weeks later, after the FBI agents go back to Washington, take a look at all these documents, obviously get in touch almost immediately, certainly, with the U.S. Department of Justice attorneys there handling this case and say, you know what? We saw this surveillance camera. We should make a request for the surveillance videos, right? And so what happens about 3 weeks after their visit, sure enough, the Department of Justice emails an attorney for Donald Trump with a request, a draft version of a grand jury subpoena requiring the production of those security camera tapes, the footage from the Mar-a-Lago Club, including footage from the cameras on ground floor basement, where that storage location was venue there, the storage room on the ground floor. June 23 at 8:46, June 23, one day after that initial request is made from the Department of Justice to Donald Trump's attorneys, what happens? We know on June 23rd, Donald Trump calls someone named Carlos de Oliveira. Carlos de Oliveira, and they spoke for 24 minutes, okay? Presumably what happens here is the attorneys for Donald Trump call Donald Trump and say, you know what? The Department of Justice, those FBI folks, and the prosecutors are looking for those tapes. We need to produce them. We hope that's what the attorneys said. And Donald Trump, after hanging up the phone call, after concluding the conversation, what does he do? He calls the person, his property management, his maintenance supervisor at Mar-a-Lago, should have told him, you know what? You got to make certain that all those tapes are preserved. That's what the call should have been about. Presumably, based upon what happens afterwards, just the opposite happens. Donald Trump calls this fellow named D. Oliveira, again, his property manager there, his maintenance supervisor, and they speak for 24 minutes. The grand jury indictment does not tell us exactly what is said, but we can figure that out based upon what happens next. That's June 23rd, one day after the request is made. June 24th, Department of Justice emails the attorney for Donald Trump with the final version of the grand jury subpoena. What does it request? It requests the production of any and all surveillance records, videos, images, photographs, and or CCTV from internal cameras at certain locations at Mar-a-Lago, including, once again, that ground floor basement location. It includes a request that any of those surveillance tapes that were recorded from when? January 10th of 2022 to June 24th of 2022, the very date of that request. That information, that span of information, important for reasons I'll talk about in just a moment. And here we go. And here is where the conspiracy hasn't already begun by that conversation between Donald Trump and this D. Oliveira fellow, now a defendant in this case, is pursued. The same day, June 24th, 1:25 in the afternoon, the attorney speaks again with Donald Trump by phone regarding that security request, the request for the security camera footage at that time. That afternoon, Walt Nauta, again the personal aide for Donald Trump, receives a text message from another Trump employee. This other Trump employee says, hey, the former president, Donald Trump, wants to see you, Mr. Nauta. And less than 2 hours after that request is made to Mr. Nauta, again, already a defendant, the personal aide to the defendant, he is scheduled to travel with Donald Trump to Illinois the next day. But based upon that request, Nauta changes his travel schedule and begins to make arrangements to go where? To Palm Beach, Florida instead. Something about what happened in those previous days prompts Nauta to say, you know what? I'm not going with the former president to Illinois as scheduled. I need to go back to South Florida to do something there. And what does he do? We know from the following paragraphs. He provides some inconsistent explanations about why suddenly he changes his plans. And all of this, again, relevant to what's going on here. It suggests, once again, an immediate need after this request is made for the production of these materials to work on, obviously, the purpose of this was to delete those camera footage items and to obstruct justice. What happens? NAUTA provides these inconsistent statements, again, according to the superseding indictment, to various colleagues, kind of trying to hide what he's doing here. About his sudden travel change, he's going to Florida all of a sudden. On June 24th, late in the evening, mid-evening or so, he texts one person that he would not be traveling with Donald Trump to Illinois, but rather he's got a family emergency, and he would be going again to South Florida. He uses the shushing emoji. Remember, this is the one that has the emoji with the lips kind of pursed and the face with the finger up against the lips. The shushing emoji to say, basically, quiet about this. 9:48 that night. He texts a Secret Service agent that likewise he has to check in a family member in Florida. That's the reason he's going, he says. And after he arrives in Florida on June 25th, he tells that Secret Service agent that he is now in Florida working. All right, a change in sudden plans after he is engaged with the former president. Got to go down there to do something. And about the same time on June 24th that NAUTA is making his travel plans to go to Florida, NAUTA and, again, this new defendant named D. Oliveira contacted another player in this, and that is the director of information technology, already identified him. We know who he is. His name is Yusile Taveras, T-A-V-E-R-A-S, Yusile Taveras. He's identified again in the indictment as employee number 4. It's significant that he's identified that way. Here's a little bit of insight on that. Almost certainly, again, Yusile Taveras not named as a defendant in the superseding indictment. Mr. Taveras is almost certainly a cooperating witness with the government. He's identified as the employee there. The fact that he's not indicted, the fact that he's identified as he is, indicates he is working with the grand jury on this investigation, probably provided testimony before that grand jury about what follows next. And sure enough, what do we know about the exchange between NAUTA and D. Oliveira again on June 24th? This is 2 days after all of this request is being made about these videotapes from the surveillance cameras there. 5:02, NAUTA sends a message to Taveras asking, hey, bro, you around this weekend? And about 5 o'clock, shortly after that, NAUTA again texts D. Oliveira saying, hey, brother, you working today? And ultimately, D. Oliveira gets back and says, yes, I just left. Then calls D. Oliveira, and they spoke for about 2 minutes. Okay, we don't know exactly the content of that, but we do know that Taveras, after that, texts a response to NAUTA, says, I am local, entertaining some family here that came to visit. What's up? What's going on? The IT guy says. And NAUTA responds, says, okay, cool. No biggie. Just wanted to see if you were around. Enjoy, bro. And again, all this is happening on June 24th. At about 7 o'clock that night, D. Oliveira, again, who is this property manager, texts Yusile Taveras and says, hey, buddy, how are you? Walter, meaning Walt NAUTA, called me early today saying he was trying to get in touch with you. I guess he's going to come down tomorrow. I guess he needs you for something. And again, this Yusile Taveras, Trump employee number 4, says he reached out but didn't say what he wanted to do. I told him, Taveras says, I was local, entertaining some family that came in from New York City this weekend. He told me, no worries. Again, all this setting up what's about to happen. About 6:58 that night, again, Trump employee number 4, we know again that's Mr. Taveras, texts NAUTA, says, bro, if you need me, I can get away for a few. Just let me know. NAUTA responds, sounds good. Thank you. And then this goes forward. Saturday, January 25th, the next day, NAUTA, again, the fellow who's the personal aide to Donald Trump, already indicted in this matter, travels from Bedminster, New Jersey. Okay? Again, keep that in mind because we're going to get back to Bedminster in just a few moments. Travels from Bedminster to Florida. And prior to NAUTA's trip, De Oliveira told a valet at the Mar-a-Lago club there that NAUTA is coming down. Lets him know that, yes, indeed, NAUTA, the personal aide to the president, is coming down, changing plans, coming down to Florida. De Oliveira, again, this newly named defendant, asked Trump employee number 5, yet another employee here, someone else in the mix here, not to tell anyone. Don't tell anybody that Walt NAUTA is coming down because Walt NAUTA wants the whole thing to remain secret. Nobody's supposed to know about any of this going on. De Oliveira also told this additional Trump employee that NAUTA wanted De Oliveira to talk to this Trump employee number 4. And here we go. Again, Yusile Taveras to see how long the camera footage was stored. How long does this video stuff remain in place? We want to talk to the IT guy. Is this camera stuff still in place? So what happens next? Okay, shortly after arriving in Palm Beach, evening of June 25th, Nauta goes to the Mar-a-Lago Club. He finally shows up after a change in plans, all these arrangements made, and he meets with Oliveira, again, this newly named defendant. Oliveira, once again, the property management there, the maintenance supervisor. And here we go, the Mar-a-Lago Club. The two of them go to the security guard booth where the surveillance video is displayed on monitors. Okay, they go there. They begin to take a look at how this all looks, right? And here's some of the most important, compelling language in this superseding indictment. The two of them walk with a flashlight through the tunnel where the storage room was located and observed and pointed out various security cameras, right? They're getting a sense of what this all looks like technologically. And then there is more. Monday, June 27th, about 9:48 or so in the morning, D'Oliveira, again, this newly named defendant, walks to the IT office where Trump employee number four, again, that's Yusil Tavares, the IT specialist, was working with another employee in the IT department. And here we go once again. D'Oliveira requested that Tavares step away from the office. Leave the office with me, if he says, if you will, so that D'Oliveira and Tavares could talk. All right? Can we talk privately, basically? And at about 9:50 or so that morning, again, as Tavares and D'Oliveira left that IT office together and walked through the basement tunnel. All this taking place once again at the Trump location there in Mar-a-Lago. D'Oliveira tells Tavares that what's going on here, a conversation that follows, but this happens in a small room known as an audio closet near the white and gold ballroom. All right, they go to an audio closet in this location again, plainly in an attempt not to let people know what they're doing. Once inside the audio closet, D'Oliveira, the newly named defendant, and Trump employee number four, the IT specialist, Tavares, had the following exchange. And again, very critical. This will be a part of the trial presentation. D'Oliveira tells Tavares their conversation should remain just between the two of them. Don't tell anybody else what we're about to talk about, okay? D'Oliveira then asked Tavares how many days the server retained footage. How long does this tape remain in place? And Tavares says he believed it was about 45 days, okay? All this, again, coming from the charges in the superseding indictment. D'Oliveira then tells Tavares that the boss wanted the server deleted. D'Oliveira, again, the newly named defendant, along with Donald Trump, along with Walt Nauta, tells Tavares, the boss, and that means Donald Trump. Donald Trump wants the server deleted. That's obstruction of justice, especially after you know that investigators want that information. The Trump employee number four, Tavares, responds that he would not know how to do that. He says, I don't know how to do that. He's the I2 guy, and then goes on to say, very tellingly, he did not believe that he would have the right to do that. He says, you know what? I don't know how to do that, and beyond that, I don't think I've got the right to do that. And tells D'Oliveira that he would have to reach out to another employee who was a supervisor of security and to get all of that done. When we come back, more about that conversation as we talk more about these talking points, this talking indictment returned about obstruction of justice related to the Trump Mar-a-Lago documents. Stay with us for that important discussion.
It doesn't hurt, feels good to help. And when you give blood, you provide a life-saving difference for others. The need doesn't take a summer break. So we have a challenge for you, started by Civic Media's Earl Ingram.
Congratulations to all those people and all of you who donate blood.
Take a selfie while giving blood, then post it along with hashtag Civic Pints. Give blood and you could get a prize too. Find challenge details and a donation center near you at civicmedia.us/giveblood. civicmedia.us/giveblood.
Hey,
Hey, this is Penny Pincher Bob, and I love a good rummage sale. If you love them too, you can list your Saturday rummage sale right here on this radio station. Your 15-second Saturday rummage sale ad runs Friday all day and Saturday morning for only $50 per week. If you would like to list your Saturday rummage sale, call us now, 715-629-9501. The deadline for each week is Wednesday at noon. Operators are standing by now. Please have a valid credit card ready to go. See ya!
The school year is starting soon. Whether at home or in the classroom, Family Natural Foods can help support health and success. All natural products can help boost your immune health and be your first lines of defense for both you and the kids. Maybe your child needs help focusing and concentrating. Ask about natural alternatives from Terry Naturally. Prepare now for a successful, healthy school year at Family Natural Foods, West Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids.
It's so hot. Wait. Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Talking indictment, the superseding indictment against the former president and two others, Walt Nauta, his personal aide, and again, a new defendant in this matter named De Oliveira, who is the property management, the maintenance supervisor at the location, also involving this IT specialist, whose name is Yusiel Tavares. And right before the break, talking about this very clandestine conversation taking place on June 27th of last year, taking place again in an audio closet near the White and Gold Ballroom. De Oliveira, again, who is one of the additional Trump employees there, having this conversation with the IT specialist Tavares, telling him that their conversation should remain between the two of them. De Oliveira asking the IT specialist how many days it would take before the server either deletes or how long is the footage retained. And Tavares says he believes it's about 45 days. And again, that prompts De Oliveira again, who is there plainly on behalf of Nauta, plainly on behalf of the president, to say that the boss wants the server deleted. We need to get rid of this evidence. Why? The Department of Justice is asking about it. That is obstruction of justice. Again, Tavares responds, he doesn't know how to do that, which is interesting, as the IT guy there didn't believe he would have the right to do that, which is significant in establishing his own sensibility, probably, not only as an IT specialist, but probably understanding that something odd is going on here, and says, I got to talk to somebody else, supervisor of security, how to do that. And De Oliveira then insists to Trump employee number four again, who is Tavares, that the boss wants the server deleted. And he looks at him and he says, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? The boss wants this to happen, and you don't know how to do it, basically. 10:14 that morning, De Oliveira then texts Nauta, who's again had this conversation with Tavares, still in Florida. And he says, hey, buddy, are you working today? And De Oliveira then called Nauta about 10:15 or so a minute later, and they spoke for about 1 minute. Presumably, what is that about? Presumably about the conversation that De Oliveira and Tavares had just had about deleting, getting rid of this evidence from the Mar-a-Lago location. And again, more information coming up right after that. Later that same day, Nauta, again, Walt Nauta, a part of the indictment already, texts Oliveira, again, who was at the Mar-a-Lago Club, and says, on my way to you, I'm coming to talk to you, okay? They're not going to have this conversation by phone, not no text here. Between 1:31 and 1:50 on that day, De Oliveira walked through the bushes on the northern edge of the Mar-a-Lago Club property. They're walking through bushes to meet with Nauta on the adjacent property. They're walking through bushes, the property, to meet on some adjacent property. and then walked back to the IT office they had visited that very morning, and then walked again through the bushes on the northern edge of the Mar-a-Lago Club to meet with Nauta on the adjacent property, walking back and forth through bushes that are apparently on the border of the Mar-a-Lago property to meet with Nauta, presumably to talk with him about what they're going to do in the wake of the conversation with the IT guy, Tavares, not indicted, plainly cooperating with the government. What are we going to do about this request from the boss, Donald Trump, to get rid of all of this evidence? At 3:55, Trump calls to Oliveira, and they speak for about 3.5 minutes. Fascinating, right? And that's where the new portion of the indictment concludes. A couple of observations about that. What you've just heard, what the indictment describes there, is a conspiracy to obstruct justice. That is destroying evidence, and that's the reason why, in addition to Donald Trump, additional count there for him, also for Nauta, and now also this D. Oliveira fellow, the property manager at the site, also involved now in this conspiracy to destroy evidence. That's what you just heard based upon the indictment, the new superseding indictment there, also indicating very strongly that Yusiel Tavares, the IT specialist there, almost certainly providing this information to the grand jury. That's how it ends up in this superseding indictment. Compelling information. A lot of people have noticed, too, that this last portion in which it's plain that you've got this conversation between D. Oliveira and Nauta, again, all defendants, taking place again. They're walking through bushes going to an adjacent property so that presumably no one can see them together. An awful lot of people are speculating upon what that's all about. Engage in some kind of activity immediately off of the Mar-a-Lago activity that somehow couldn't come closer to the property itself to transact. It's either that he didn't want to be recorded having visited Mar-a-Lago that day, that's Nauta, or that he's now very aware of that the federal government is interested in this and was not eager to be observed in any way being there. What is that? That's consciousness of guilt. That's consciousness of guilt that you know you're doing something wrong and you're hiding your very activity. The very activity that you've been requested to do by the former president, which is to destroy that information. How long does it last? Can we get rid of it? That too, consciousness of guilt. That's why this is so important, not only in terms of these additional charges, but also further supporting this indictment that Donald Trump knew what he was doing, gets this information from his attorney, and his response is to see if he can destroy evidence that the government wants, has requested days earlier. That is compelling, hugely, hugely troubling, and yes, it's criminal conduct. Again, hasten to add, it's charged. It has not been found, but with this much specificity and this much certainty, also certainly corroborated by Jack Smith's other attorneys there, other information presented compellingly to a grand jury that looks at this and says, yes, we find probable cause that all of this happened. Compelling information. Now Donald Trump facing 40 counts based upon all this in the superseding indictment. We're going to talk about more of that, but before we do so, we've got a caller. Gary, you've been waiting online for a while. Glad to have you with us this morning. Your observation or comment about our subject matter this morning.
Well, you can imagine where I'm going to come from. I'm fair, okay?
Yes.
I listened to CNN. I listened to you guys. I listened to Matt Flynn. I listened to Hannity, okay? So I hear both sides. It's like you go into court and you're going to defend yourself, but the only jury is going to hear is from the prosecutor. Now, does that sound fair to you, Jim?
And I'm going to answer that question directly. The answer is this. It's a part of the process. Here's the civics point, Gary. A grand jury indictment is the charges. And as I've said at least two or three times this morning, they're the allegations. Why do we have a trial? When you go into trial, that's where this will be presented. And yes, indeed, absolutely. Does Donald Trump and the other defendants now named, will they have an opportunity to defend this case? Yes, they will. What we're doing this morning is describing what a grand jury determined based upon the evidence presented to it. That day in trial is coming. Your point is entirely well taken. And it is fair because it is a part of the system. And it is a part of our system, which has been in place for 240 years. When we come back after the top of the hour, we're going to talk about additional things in this grand jury indictment. Again, going to trial in May of next year or beyond. Stay with us for more of this on Morning Cannolis.
You make a man of dreams come true. If you're talking, they will hear you.
We all want our kids to grow up safe and healthy. So we show them how. And we tell them with honest conversations that let them know what we expect. Not just one time, but every chance we get. That's especially important when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. Kids not only need to know the dangers and how to avoid them, they need to hear it often from you. And when it comes to pain medications, opioids, they need to know that they should never be taken without a prescription and never shared with friends or family. It's dangerous and illegal. So talk with your kids and guide them through the challenges of growing up safe and healthy. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. So talk, they hear
you. You can do it. WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.